This evening, when Charles read Love Drives Desire, he gave me a verse where the lady is speaking of her husband's desire for her. So I feel a little uncomfortable. But I think he did it on purpose, but I won't say. The scripture reading from Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 10. I am my beloved, and his desire is towards me.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God, spirit and truth, and certainly open up God's Word and try to meditate on it and learn from it. When I told my wife that Song of Solomon was the book of the month, she looked at me strange because she had read it recently. She said, I'm not sure how you're going to pull some good, maybe appropriate lessons out of Song of Solomon. Of course, Song of Solomon reflects on the beautiful relationship between husband and wife, and it certainly goes to the physical. And there's no doubt that is what is being mentioned in Song of Solomon. But throughout this month, we've tried to pull out a few lessons. And as we went through Song of Solomon, we tried to pull a few of those out. But I do believe that Solomon is connected to these songs. Although Song of Solomon is nowhere quoted in the New Testament, there are some powerful lessons that we can learn from it, just like anything in Scripture. I think we see the powerful bond between husband and wife, and we see the beautiful relationship they have physically that certainly God designed marriage to have. And throughout Song of Solomon, it flips from during the marriage, after the marriage, before the marriage, and really you have three speakers. You have the bride, the groom, and you also have the court. And there's many things in Song of Solomon that could certainly make us blush as we try to read them, as we reflect on them. But really, Song of Solomon is life. And all of us that are in a marriage relationship or even in the courting stage, I think we feel Song of Solomon, we know Song of Solomon as we enter into relationships in our lives and as we enter those. Many people think Song of Solomon is allegorical, which means it's a picture of something else. But typically in the Bible with allegories, when something's supposed to be used as a metaphor, usually the Bible says it. And the Bible does not allude and say, you know what, Song of Solomon is really just a picture between God and Israel, or God and the church. I'm not saying it can't be used in such a way to draw comparisons, but I think Song of Solomon is truly this picture between husband and wife. And as we've explored Song of Solomon this month, the three lessons that I pulled out were kind of big takeaways as we look at the book. It's number one, we look at love drives concern. Love drives concern. When we love somebody, we're concerned about them. And I think we've got to see that Song of Solomon in chapter 3. We have a waking up at night and the loved one is not there. And what happens in chapter 3 is there is a search that happens. And it is a persistent search. It's a search that I believe goes through all through Jerusalem. And she even comes on the guards of the city and says, have you seen my beloved? Have you seen my husband? You know, if we lose something that we love, we search for it. Love drives concern. We're concerned for those that we love. We also look at the idea that we see in Song of Solomon as we see them verbally appreciating each other, particularly their physical form. The wife says to the husband says to the wife. And we talked about how love drives appreciation. Those that we love, we appreciate. We look for good in those that we love. We look for good and we think good about those that we love, and eventually it comes out verbally. And certainly verbal appreciation is a very special thing. And also in Song of Solomon, I believe that we see commitment. I think love drives commitment. And when I think of commitment, I think of two things primarily. And I understand that when I think of commitment, these are two things that I think about. I think of endurance, and I certainly think about perseverance, but also I think about faithfulness. And the first one I'd like to talk about this evening is love drives commitment in relation to endurance and perseverance. Is that when we love something, I think that we have a tendency not to give up. When we love something, we will go through a lot for that individual. We will endure, we will persevere. And I'm going to go back to chapter 3 just for a minute, where we have the bride waking up, the woman in the situation waking up, and her loved one is not there. And what does she do? The one that she loves is not there, and she wakes up, and she searches, and searches, and searches, and searches, until she finds the one that she loves. And in that, I see commitment. I see endurance. I see perseverance. And I think about that. Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "Scarcely had I passed by them," talking about the guards, "when I found the one I loved, and I held him and would not let go." Do you have endurance and perseverance in your relationship? Endurance and perseverance, that's a very special thing. Because when we think about marriage, we have a long road together. And what the Bible says about our Christian life is that certainly just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that our life is always going to be smooth and easy. There are going to be ups and downs in life. And the question is, are we going to endure and persevere through those ups and downs together with the ones we love? Certainly we could think of the marriage bond, but also I think we can think about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Will we persevere? Will we endure? Will we go through the hard times and the good times with the ones we love? Will we cling to them with everything that we have? You know, when I do think of marriage, though, marriage is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. It was designed by God, and certainly God knows that it is our advantage when we have such a relationship. But I think in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "The Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Marriage designed by God, a relationship that is special, a relationship that is founded on commitment, endurance, and perseverance, a relationship that's supposed to last the test of time, and something very special. And that's something that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ as well, is that we have a relationship with one another that should persevere, that should endure, that we should stay together through the ups and downs. But in that physical relationship between husband and wife, it says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And that terminology, one flesh, I think we understand is in relation to the physical relationship between husband and wife. But that's an interesting idea, is it not? That two can become one. That's the way it's described in the Bible. And when I think about the Lord's body as well, the relationship we have and the commitment we have to one another, is we are many members, but we are one body. The body of Christ. You know, that's kind of a special thing, that our commitment can make something united, can make something of one. And in a marriage relationship, two become one. As the body of Christ, we have many members, and with commitment, we come together, committed to Jesus Christ, and we're committed to stay together through the long haul, through the ups and downs. And certainly there are many of those in life. You know, God wants these relationships to last. But I think God knows that these relationships, the relationship of marriage, the relationship with us each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, He understands that these relationships will not last without love and without commitment to one another. Love and commitment that would drive us out of bed late at night to go searching for the other. A commitment that would drive us to search until we found the ones that we love, and then we would cling to them with all that we have. A commitment and a perseverance. And certainly God wants our relationship to go the distance. He wants our relationship to go the distance. He wants our church relationship to go the distance. He wants our marriage relationship to go the distance. We think of Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. And he said, and as this Jesus speaking to being questioned about marriage and divorce, he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate." God has no intention of the church breaking up. God has no intention of our marriages breaking up. He wants there to be endurance. He wants there to be perseverance. And what drives that commitment? What drives that commitment is our love for one another. Our love in our marriages, our love in the body of Christ. The road that's before us is not promised as an easy road. It's a road of endurance. It's a road that will have ups and downs. Our marriages will be tested. The church will be tested. We will be tested as individuals. And will we endure? Will we persevere? You know that when we get through these tests together, we're stronger. And what's unique about that is many of these things we have to face. There are many things that my parents faced, and they've got through those things, and they're better off on the other side of those trials and those adversities. But those things that my parents went through are not the things that my wife and I have went through. They're different things. It's a different relationship. You know, my father and my mother, they have their relationship, and they are traveling through life together, and they have challenges, and they have adversities, and they face those together. And when they overcome those, I believe they're stronger. And you know what? As Sarah and I go through things as a husband and wife, as we take on these challenges and we get through these challenges, we are stronger. You know, we're going to go through trials and adversities in this life. And James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, it says, "My brother, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance." You're going to be tested throughout this life, there's no doubt. And when those tests come, you know, it's going to test your endurance and your perseverance. It's going to test the endurance and perseverance in relation to your marriage. The church is going to be tested. Our perseverance and our endurance together, united as one for the common cause of Jesus Christ. We are better united. We are not better separated. And many times in the world, people try to make that argument. But God, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to the church, He does not want us to break up. He wants us to stay together. He knows that we're stronger together, that we can be stronger together. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it talks about that idea. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. It says two are better than one in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and it goes through and it gives us all these pictures. I'm not saying there aren't situations where people can split. I think in Matthew chapter 19 would be a place for us to look for Bible guidance. I think that we can look in the New Testament and we can see where the church has to split on certain occasions, usually just from an individual because of their sin. But that's not God's intention, is it? God's intention is that we stay together. God's intention is that we're united. God's intention is that we do those things which are good and right. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31, it says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." We see it in Genesis, we see it in Matthew, we see it in Ephesians, we see it throughout the Bible, that what God has united or brought together, let no man separate. Do you remember your vows? Certainly there's different vows that go around, but many of those vows say for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish until death. Have you thought about that commitment? I think when we love the way that the Bible wants us to love, we can endure and we can have perseverance. We can get through hard things in this life. Love is a special thing. Love is one of the strongest forces on this earth, and really it's the foundation of Christianity. But love seeks the highest good of its object, without regard to cost, without regard to sacrifice, without regard to suffering. Think about that. When we love, we will endure. When we love, we will persevere. When we have that strong love, it will drive us through many sacrifices for the ones we love. When we have a strong love, it will drive us through sacrifices, it will drive us through suffering, it will drive us through whatever cost. Love is a strong force. And certainly it needs to be utilized in our relationships, because love can keep our commitment that we have made strong. Love drives our commitment. It drives our endurance. It drives our perseverance. And Ephesians chapter 5, it certainly has that picture of love. It has that picture of marriage. It talks about Christ and the church. In verses 25 through 29, although really all chapter 5 is good, but really 22 through 32, talking about husbands and wives in the church. But verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." We have Jesus and his bride, the church, and then there's a comparison of husbands and their wives, and we see a strong love there in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Now, if we think of other scriptures in the Bible, we see pictures of what is the selfless love that the Bible talks about, giving a life for another. Certainly Jesus, while we were still sinners, Christ gave his life for us. You think of Jesus giving his life for a friend. You think of these ideas of love and the strongest love. Love drives commitment. Love drives our concern. Love drives those things in our lives that are most important. Love drives appreciation. Do you have the selfless love of the Bible? It gives us a picture in Ephesians chapter 5 that a husband should love their wife to the point that they would be willing to die for them. Talk about endurance. Talk about perseverance. A love that you're willing to die for. A person that you're willing to die for. And what I'd like you to do is think about this evening, what are you willing to die for? What if you were to make a list this evening of the things that you are willing to die for? Make that list in your mind. I'd be willing to die for this. I'd be willing to die for this. I'd be willing to die for this. I don't know how long your list is. All those things on that list, almost guarantee those are things that you love. Love drives commitment. Love drives endurance. Love drives perseverance. Certainly, many times, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is brought up. Of course, there's many things going on in the church at that time. Many things that are going on. But there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love suffers long. Love endures all things. Certainly, when you think about love, love seeks the highest good of its object, without regard to cost, sacrifice, or suffering. Do you have a love that will endure and persevere? That is a deep love. And I think as we look in Song of Solomon, we can see that there is a deep love between these individuals that will drive their commitment. Also, when I think of commitment, I think of faithfulness. And I think you have a repetition of this actually throughout the book. And I do want to go very quickly and apply it to the New Testament. But in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved is mine, and I am his. When I think about that, I think about commitment, and I think about faithfulness. This same idea is repeated in Song of Solomon chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. We see this idea that these two are looking at each other, basically, thinking about that, and they say, we are each other. We are each other. And we understand underneath the New Testament, as we look, that we should have our own lives, and we certainly think of the idea of faithfulness. When I think of commitment, I think of faithfulness. I think of endurance. I think of perseverance. But I think of faithfulness. And faithfulness is not perfection. And I've mentioned this many times, but I do think it's a good example, is that if you ask my wife if I'm a perfect husband, she's going to laugh, perhaps. She might chuckle. I'm not a perfect husband, but I think I am a faithful husband. And I think that in our world, how do people try to blur the line of faithfulness? And although, don't we think that we can see faithfulness, we can know faithfulness? In fact, if we ask ourselves that question, I think that we can be very honest with ourselves and can say to ourselves, am I faithful in this physical relationship? But yet, it's interesting to me that when it comes to our spiritual relationship, all of a sudden people start to hesitate. All of a sudden people start to hesitate on what faithful looks like in relation to Jesus Christ. We know what faithfulness looks like in our physical relationship. What does it look like in our spiritual relationship? And I think that's a question we have to ask ourselves, am I faithful in my spiritual relationship? But I think we can all answer that question. Am I faithful in my physical relationship? Of course, we understand the physical relationship that husband and wife have, and that is where God has put it, and that's where it is to be kept. And we understand that when we go outside those bounds, that is a violation. If we go outside those bounds, that is a violation of God's word. Faithfulness. I think that's the idea you get in Ephesians chapter 5. When we see Christ dying for his bride, does Christ have a whole bunch of brides out there, or does he have one? I believe he died for the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, as you look through the passage there, certainly we have that idea of the one. And it starts in verse 4, and it goes, there is one body, and there is one spirit, just as you recall, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. The idea of one. Well, that one body If you go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, it says, which is his body, the fullness of him. Wait, what is his body? In verse 22, it says, over all things of the church, which is his body. So in Ephesians chapter 1, it says the body and the church are the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says there's one body, there's one church. And then we get to Ephesians chapter 5, and it's talking about Jesus and his bride, the church. How many brides does he have? He has one, and he's faithful to that bride. Are we faithful to Christ? Are we faithful to our bride and our marriage relationship? Are we faithful? Certainly we're going to fall short from time to time. Are we faithful in word and deed? In word and deed. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it talks about wives that have unfaithful husbands. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, and even if some do not obey the word, they without a word might be won by the conduct of their wives. And I believe this can go the other way, but it certainly is talking about wives here. There's no doubt about that. And it says, wives, be submissive to your husband. That without a word, that spouse can be won. You need to be faithful in word and in deed. Are we faithful in word and deed? Are we consistent for the ones that we love? Are we there for them when they need us most? Are we there for them in the good times and the bad times? Are we faithful? You know, when you think about a husband that's willing to die for their spouse, it continues in Ephesians chapter 5. And as it works its way down into verse 29, it says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Certainly right before it says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You know, the sense that I know individuals are not perfect, but would Christ ever verbally attack the church? Would Christ ever physically attack the church? He loves the church. That's his bride. When we think about our relationship, do we cherish our wives as our own bodies? The love here is so deep, I struggle always putting into words. Because the love between a husband and wife is the love that really drove Jesus to the church, to the cross. Why was Jesus there? Why did he go to the cross? How did he end up there? Because of love. Love can drive us to sacrifice, to suffer, to pay any cost for those that we love. The commitment that we're talking about is one of the deepest commitments we can have when it's driven by love. What a blessing many of us have, and perhaps look over it each and every day. So many times as human beings, we are not thankful for the things that are so close to us in life until they're gone. We are not thankful for the value that we have until it's gone. What value in your home? What value walks hand in hand with you, side by side? What value do we look over each and every day that we should appreciate, that we should be concerned about, that we should be committed to? In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. You know, you do think about that. Do we look over the most precious things in our lives? Do we look over our relationship with Jesus? Do we look over that relationship? Do we look over the relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we look over the relationship that we have with our spouse? When we associate value in our relationship, when we can see the value in our relationship, I believe we're faithful. Also, something else in relation to faithfulness, I think of thankfulness. And I preach the lesson, you know, preachers remember their lessons, but I know as humans we forget. So I preached on Hosea and the minor prophet. God asked him to marry Gomer, who's a prostitute. And I preached the lesson on, I think thankfulness is tied to faithfulness. And if thankfulness is tied to faithfulness, then being unthankful is being connected to being unfaithful. And I actually think I've seen that pattern throughout my life, is that when people are not thankful for that which they have, they tend to be unfaithful. When you are not thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus day for us, the sacrifice of Himself. If you're not thankful for that, if you're not reminded of that, you have a real chance of being unfaithful. When we're thankful, we're faithful. When we're unthankful, many times we're not faithful. And I think you see it with Gomer. Did you know what Gomer starts saying about her husband, Hosea? She starts to say, I'm getting all these blessings from my other lovers. I'm not getting anything from you, Hosea. Really, Hosea was supporting her all through the time that she was being unfaithful. But she says, I'm getting all these blessings from my lovers, Hosea. I don't need you. I'm not thankful for you. That's when she's unfaithful. You know, when Gomer is basically on the slave block about to be sold, I think she makes a connection. I think that she reflects a little bit. She took for granted that which she had. Do you take for granted the things which you have? Love drives commitment. It drives our perseverance. It drives our endurance. But I think the love that we're talking about and discussing, it also drives our faithfulness. And certainly should be connected to our thankfulness. When I think about commitment, I think about those things. What I want you to think about just for the next few moments here is your spiritual commitment. Love drives endurance. Love drives perseverance. Love drives, when we think about it, it drives so many things in our life. It drives our faithfulness. But love should drive your spiritual commitment to the Lord. Does love drive your commitment to the Lord? Does love drive your perseverance and endurance for the Lord? Does love drive your faithfulness to the Lord? In Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 10, it says, I am my beloved, and his desire is towards me. I thought about that. It says, I am my beloved, and his desire is towards me. Where is your desire in your relationship with God? Where is your desire in your relationship with the church? Where is your desire in relationship with your spouse? It says, I am my beloved, and his desire is towards me. Where is your desire focused? You know, it's interesting. Desire is part of our relationship with Jesus. Not in a physical way, in terms of a physical relationship such as we see in Song of Solomon, but in service to Him, yes it is. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, Then He said to all of them, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You know, you see that picture. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You know, daily, that takes some endurance, does it not? That takes some perseverance, does it not? That takes some faithfulness, does it not? Love should drive our commitment. Do you love the Lord? Do you desire to follow the Lord to do those things which are good and right? You know, if you desire, it's going to take you a long way. And you need desire for the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Do you have a desire, a strong desire to be faithful? Do you have a strong desire to persevere, to endure? And I think the flame for our desire and our commitment to the Lord should come out of love. I think people that are searching will find, but are you searching with all your heart? Are you searching with a desire to find? You know, I think back to Song of Solomon chapter 3, when she wakes up and he's not there and she searches the town. She searches the town late at night. She does not delay. She searches and she searches. She perseveres. She's not giving up. I think people need to be searching. We need to search for that which we desire. Do we desire a relationship with God? Certainly, He's the only way. And we see that in many scriptures. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we see there's no salvation in any other name. In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need endurance to serve the Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. God knows that our commitment to Him is going to require endurance and perseverance. Are you enduring? Are you persevering? In James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. To be committed to the Lord is to love the Lord. And to love the Lord and to be committed to the Lord, we understand that we are going to need endurance and perseverance. It's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. Is there going to be some very hard and difficult days? And we can endure and we can persevere because of love. Love drives commitment. Certainly, I think about endurance to Jesus Christ, perseverance in relation to our walk with Jesus, but also think of faithfulness. You know, that is used throughout the Bible, is that the physical relationship between husband and wife and being faithful in that respect, in many ways, is compared to our relationship with Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have the picture of marriage. But in James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses. What is it saying? Cheaters. Well, what is it going to say? And in James chapter 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Are we faithful to God? Are we faithful to God? A lot of people scratch their heads and say, I don't know if I'm faithful to God or not. Do you love God? Are you doing those things which He's asked you to do? Certainly we're not perfect in all respects, but it's amazing to me that in a physical relationship, we can spot if somebody's being faithful or unfaithful. And we ourselves can say, I'm being faithful in this relationship or I'm not being faithful in this relationship. But when it comes to God, all of a sudden we start asking all kinds of questions. Are you being faithful? Do you love God? Are you committed to God? Do you have endurance? Do you have perseverance? Are you doing those things that are good and right? Are you cheating with the world? Are you cheating on God? In Psalm 73 and verse 25, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. You think about that idea of desire. It's a strong desire. We can see it in physical relationships, but I think spiritually it can certainly be applied. To be faithful, to be committed spiritually, we need endurance, we need faithfulness. In Titus chapter 1 verse 16, it says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. You know, it doesn't matter if I say to my wife, I'm faithful to you, and then I'm unfaithful in every way. You know, people try to do that in their spiritual relationships, don't they? I'm faithful to you, Jesus. I'm faithful to you, God. But you're not doing faithful actions. You're not doing faithful things. That's not what the faithful do. You're really cheating, and you're cheating on God. Will we be faithful? Will we be committed? Will we be driven with love to do those things that we know to be true? Faithfulness is a road of endurance. When you look at some of the Christians as they come to the end of their life, of course, certainly I think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It's a road that you're going to have to be committed to. It's a road that's going to have endurance, perseverance. It's going to be a road of faithfulness. And you know what? There are Christians that lose heart. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, there are Christians that lose heart from time to time. We need to try to encourage them as best we can. But it says, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. When I think of spiritual commitment, I think of endurance and I think of faithfulness. It's not necessarily the most flashy thing to talk about, and I can tell you why it's not flashy, because it's one of the hardest things we'll do in our life. To be faithful, to endure, to not lose heart, to continue on, to press on, to sacrifice, to endure, to do those things which God wants us to do, that's not easy, and it's not always flashy either. To do those things day in and day out that are the best for those that we love. Are you faithful? Are you committed? I can tell you one thing that will help drive that is love, and I think we see it in Song of Solomon. Do you have a strong love that can drive your commitment to endure and be faithful to the end? Once again, you maybe should make that list. Things that you're willing to die for. Because those things that you're willing to die for are those things that you love very deeply, that you are connected to, that you would do anything for. Maybe you need to make that list. Maybe you need to reflect on that list. What are you willing to die for? I bet it's the things that you love. Certainly, I love Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that we love than for you to be added to the church. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening. Perhaps you need to encourage the church. Jesus loved us, and I believe that love drove Him to the cross, and He was committed to the end to go through that process. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to encourage the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can if you come as we stand as we sing.